Good evening. I have a quorum here, and I want to call this meeting to order. And the only small housekeeping thing I would like to tell you is down 4, 5, 6, 7 down, Leslie McBean Claiborne, OTR, new. Although she's not here at $60,000, it's a contingent fund issue, and it has to do, it should say contracts. And I will say to you that Leslie is not going to be here, and she will be here Monday. So you can see the way the list goes. We will not be looking at any of Leslie's things unless someone else has got their name on it. But she informed me that she would not be here and would be here on Monday. Anyone have any questions? Will, go ahead.
So would that be the only reason for having a meeting on Monday?
As far as I can see, unless we, you know, spread this one out so long we can't decide on the other things. Martha?
Are there other things with her name on it, unless you're saying about, is that the only one that's just hers?
No, there's others.
What did you mean about contracts?
Set aside 60 in one-time funds to provide living wage support for agencies. It's contracts that we have, not agencies.
For county contracts.
Right.
Got it. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Is that contracts with agencies? Is that what that means?
Kevin, does that mean, Joe, contracts with agencies?
Mostly, but not necessarily.
Yeah, right.
The policy speaks to county contractors and their payment of the living wage, so it wouldn't necessarily be an agency.
Right.
Solid Waste. Highway, we have a contract. It applies to that.
Again, that's a Monday discussion. I think we're ready to go. Carol Chalk, Peter Stein, OTR 39, HSC Community Agencies, Food Distribution, Locally Grown Foods. It's a $4,000 one-time expense. Someone want to move it? Carol moves it. Is there a second? Peter Stein, second. Discussion.
Wow.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor, please.
Wait.
Is there anybody from FoodNet here?
If we could vote it in, they could just listen. That would be great.
This isn't
FoodNet. What is FoodNet?
It's a food distribution. I'm sorry. You're right. It is food.
Yeah.
This would be the Human Services Coalition Community Agencies.
Got it.
So I want to ask Kathy Schlatter if she has anything she'd like to say to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone fix the mic for Kathy, please. No. If the green light is on, it's on.
Okay. Thank you.
Loud and clear.
That way? Yeah, that's about good, that one. Thanks. This was a $4,000 one-time request. This would be, it's for a healthy foods program for next summer. For the food pantries, they want to try to do a program to help people who come to the food pantry eat more fresh fruits and vegetables in a way that they know what they're going to get so they can develop recipes and really help people understand the benefits. They just want to do it as a pilot program for 3 months next summer, and they requested $4,000 to do this.
Can I ask, Kathy, is my understanding correct that this would be to support them by purchasing locally grown wholesome foods wherever possible?
They get their food from the food bank of the Southern Tier, and I don't know where the food bank gets its local. It's fruits and vegetables.
It's a $4,000 item to feed people.
Anyone else?
Healthy food.
Carol, since a lot of it is surplus from grocery stores after it's just passed the selling date, you can't assume it was locally grown.
Anyone else?
If that matters to you.
Anyone else? Dan?
Yeah, I mean, doesn't that say food distribution, locally grown foods? Isn't that what we're...
Yes, it says...
I think it does.
It says it.
But we're not... Okay. I'm just checking.
Yeah,
Okay, thank you.
All right. All in favor, please raise your hand. One, two. Anyone want to change their vote? It's a shutout. 11 zip. Approved. Next one. It's mine. Matching. It's 17753. Matching funds for Gadabout New Freedom Program, Restore Other Funds. It's OTR 69. It is Target. Someone want to move it? Will moves. Martha seconds. Discussion. No. Martha, go ahead.
I'm confused.
What happened?
My list says there's a Human Services Coalition of 1%.
What happened to OTR 42?
I skipped it.
Okay. We'll come back.
I'll go back to it. I thought we just passed 4,000, so I was assuming we'd passed 4,101. But I'll come back to it.
Okay, so I'm supporting this 17.7.
And Dwight is here if anyone has questions.
It's an important match that leverages other money and for an important service.
So, Mike. Want to use the mic, please?
Who's it matching, just out of curiosity?
Dwight, you want to come to the microphone and answer these questions, please?
Is it on?
Yes.
Okay. Sure. The county's providing a 15% match. The other fund sources are Federal Transit and the State of New York Transit Operating Assistance together provides the other 85%.
Thanks. Any other questions for Dwight? Ready to vote?
I have a question. Why was it not recommended?
I could give his answer, but I'll let him do it. Go ahead.
I'm a bit of a broken record. There simply wasn't enough resources within the 1.3% that we had. It's really a request for new local dollars, not to maintain existing levels of funding. This is actually a request for additional local dollars. So it was those two reasons that led to me not recommending this.
Anyone else? All in favor, please raise your hand. Anyone want to change their vote? Thank you, Dwight. It's another shutout, 11 zip. We will be going back to Human Service Coalition, Dooley Kiefer, Peter Stein, OTR 42, $4,101. It is funding OTR with target funding for additional 1% increase to staff salaries. And let me, if I'm wrong, someone say I am. We gave 2% to the agencies, and this is an additional one on top of the two. Am I right? Okay. Someone want to move it? Will moves
no,
it?
No.
Oh, anyone want to move it? Peter moves. Dooley second. Discussion. Will and then Carol.
So I will be recusing myself on this because my wife is a part-time employee at the Human Services Coalition.
Thank you, Will. Go ahead, Carol.
So I'm agonizing about this one. We what was the, oh, I don't know how to ask the question, average increase to our own staff and other agencies?
We provided a 2% across the board increase to our agencies. So the Human Services Coalition received the 2%. And that was given to virtually all the agencies. If you're asking how much our own employees, the bulk of our employees, are receiving in 2016, it's 2.25% that they're receiving next year.
So I'm
As I say that, though, recall that there are also a number of concessions on the benefit side that allowed us to do the 2.25%, including going to the Platinum Plan and some other changes in the benefit side that offset some of that 2.25%.
So, and our staff at the Human Services Coalition that this would go to? Are they already at a living, they're at a livable wage? Well above?
I don't know well above, but
I'm... Is there anybody under a livable wage on your staff?
No, but the 2% has to pay for our retirement and rent and things that... So in order to do that, I have not been able to give a raise to my staff. It's been under 1.5% for the past 5 years. I've got great staff, but I need to keep them. And, yeah, the 2% has to pay for a lot more than salary.
Peter.
Yeah, I'm not an expert on this one, but it was my impression that that there have been long periods of time where the higher levels of staff have not received any increment in income, and that this was to do that at this particular level. I think that's right.
We do try to, moderate that. Not everybody gets the same because, you have to bring out the lower salaries. So there have been years we haven't given any increase. We try to give a little bit, but...
I think it's not a living wage issue, correct?
It's not a living wage issue,
right.
No.
Okay.
Everybody in the agency makes a living wage.
Martha, and then Carol's, and never mind. Martha, go ahead.
This is really hard. I wish we could do this, but then I worry that why wouldn't we give every agency and every contractor a 3% increase? I'm afraid I'm going to have to vote against this. I mean, that you could make the same argument for every agency, right? That okay.
Yeah, Jim, actually, I do want to.
Anyone else? Carol.
Yes, I do want to ask this question. I'm agonizing about this because I want to be able to do this for you, but it's what Martha just said. Did you build in an increase? Did you allow all the agencies to build an increase into their budgets, and if so, at what amount?
So we get city money that allows us to add more to the agencies. We get city tax money, but we don't. The coalition doesn't, but the agencies that we represent do. So we have funds we can be flexible and give. We don't do across the board. Some, again, just like ours, we give maybe a little more to some who have lost funding, the list of people who have gotten more funding this year. We look at each one individually, but it does give us, we get the 2% increase from the county, but the city funding lets us give a little more increase to the agencies.
So did they generally tend to get closer to 2% or 3%, or do you know?
Because we don't do it across the board. I mean, some get a much higher increase, but some get a little lower depending on what their income has been throughout the year. We look at them all individually. But we do tend to try to give at least a 3% because we know that they, that they have lower salaries in the agency. So we try to bring them up a little bit more.
Dooley, and then Peter for a second bite. Go ahead, Dooley.
So we have asked the Human Services Coalition to do a lot of our analytical work for us with respect to all the agencies. And they've been doing it for a while, and they've been doing it well. And it's my opinion that we need to take care of the coalition staff itself, since they are taking care of the agencies and doing our analysis for us. So I think that the fact that this handful of important central staff has not gotten raises is what we should be dealing with, and that's why I support this. As Jim said, small amount of money, but it matters.
Anyone else? Ready to vote? Please. Oh, Peter, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, the reason I'm voting for this is that because I'm on the Human Services Coalition staff, not on the staff, as a member of the Human Services Coalition, whatever.
You're a liaison.
Liaison, that's what I am, yes. And I've come to understand a lot of what they do. I go to all the meetings, and I find they do a very large, a lot of things. There are a lot of things that they work on and support. And I remember hearing a year ago or so, or maybe it's even more than that, that the central staff had not received a raise in number of years. That's what I remembered hearing. And so for that reason, that they hadn't had a raise, an increase, this isn't a very large number, and it's just my respect for the quality of the work that they do that leads me to vote for this.
Anyone else? All in favor, please raise your hand of this resolution. Opposed? Anyone want to change their vote? I have 5 in favor and 6 opposed.
No, 5.
5. How many people?
5 and 1.
Do it again. Please raise your hand if you're in favor of the change. Please raise your hand. 1, 2.
What?
Please, I'm asking a revote in favor of the resolution.
In favor of the resolution.
Or the amendment. Okay, there. I'm counting 5. Opposed.
And 1 recusal.
And so it's 5-5. And 1 and that fails. Did we already do, did we do the 821, 821?
No.
Yeah, well, well, I'll let Leslie do that one. I'm not going to bother with that.
There are 2 others of us on it.
What?
Peter and I are both on it.
Oh, you want? Well, all right, go ahead and move it. And I'll explain to her why we did it. Someone want to move the $821, the fully fund the OTAR with target funds to provide 3.3 increase to intermunicipal rec partnership. Someone want to move it? Martha moves. Peter seconds. Discussion. Anyone? Ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. Anyone want to change their vote? It's a shutout. 11-0 in favor. Next one, new county attorney funding for charter documents, $5,000 one time. Has my name next to it. Someone want to move it? Mike moves. Martha seconds. Discussion. Mike?
Just to remind folks that this is because we're doing the charter revision. Next year, it'll be necessary to contract for the full charter document to be updated with the new changes that we adopt, if we adopt.
Anyone else? All in favor, please raise your hand. Anyone want to change their vote? It's 11-0 in favor of. Thank you.
Jim, before we leave this, I would like to ask administration to consider whether this charge belongs in the county attorney's line or someplace else. Not tonight, but in the future.
Okay. The next one is mine also. It is a contingent fund for unexpected needs of HSC community agencies. It's $15,000 and someone want to move it in a second, and then I will tell you why I put it in at that number. Carol moves. Dooley seconds. In the 14 budget, I believe this was $25,000. It went unspent. It did not go back into rollover because it doesn't. It rolled back into the general fund. And it came to my attention that HSC wanted to do this again, and I picked the number 15,000 because the 25,000 wasn't spent, frankly, and 15 seemed like a good number, and that's why I have it in there. I have spoken to Kathy one time in the front of the room here, and she did say that there was some use for some of the money if they get it in the next budget. But my number is 15. Peter.
I'd like to offer an amendment to raise that number to $25,000.
Sure, if you can get a second. You're going to move it to 25, Julie? is a second discussion on the amendment to go from 15 to 25. Martha.
Okay. Well, usually the person that moves it gets a chance to discuss it, but maybe not. Okay.
Well, I was going to call on you, but Martha, would you want to let the mover do it?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Peter.
Okay. So, again, it's very difficult to predict unpredictable events. That's for sure. And no matter how much money you give them, if there are no if there are no such events, it all goes back into the fund. So the argument that my resolution comes from talking to Kathy, and she says that she's already spent a significant amount of the $15,000 that has been put into there.
Wait, excuse me. This is for next year's budget. They don't have any money in this year's budget.
Am I wrong, Kathy? That's what I...
No, it's just that the request I had was the Advocacy Center needs $8,000 right now. They had a security breach in their server, and that's how much it's going to cost to repair it. And they have, as you can imagine, very sensitive material. They actually had an FBI agent come to their door saying, you need to do something about this. You've been hacked. So they've already made a request for the $18,000. So... 15 would leave 7 for the rest of the year.
I believe I'm right in saying this is next year's budget, not this year.
It would be in, yes. Right, I don't have any this year.
On 2016. Okay,
it'll be,
Peter.
It'll be against that. And anyway, there's hardly any risk because if there's no other unexpected event, then it just rolls right back into the account. Okay.
Martha, you had a hand up and then Will.
Yeah, it's about the reserves. So if I'm looking at the screen, it shows that the votes we've taken so far compared to the county administrator's budget, we're pulling 11,000 less than you did out of reserves. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I think some of what we put in as one time was changed to target the other night.
Okay, and we've got some others on here going out of reserves. But so if you remind me, if we adopted your budget, what percent of the fund balance would we have what percent of our budget would we have in reserves?
It's in the book. I think it's around 15%.
And our targeted?
So we still have, I believe reserves of about 15%.
And our target reserves?
10.
Is meant to be 10. Okay, I'll support this.
Carol.
Yeah, I have a question for Kathy. So what do you do in situations where you've got need for contingent money? Do you ever come back to us?
I can.
Mid-year?
Right, and it goes through committees. Goes through.
Did you come back to us for this data breach? Or you... found the money elsewhere?
Truthfully, I thought I had this money. I learned after the fact that it didn't roll over. That was my mistake. I thought it had rolled over. I thought I could use it this year, apparently, and I didn't. Talked to the Advocacy Center. They said they can patch it till January because that's how I saw getting the money, is coming back through this process. And they say they're okay, they can patch it, but they'd have to fix it, that they could wait till January to get the money. I talked to Heather actually this week to see if that was still all right.
Okay. So, Joe, can I ask you, how would we handle it if a request came, say, through the committee to help them, with this year's money, 2015 money, to deal with this data breach, which is obviously a serious thing.
Yeah, you do it the old-fashioned way. So the first source would be contingency. That we're getting awfully close to the bottom of the barrel already on contingency. So it would very likely be a request to allocate out of fund balance, to take some money out of our reserves, much like what you're doing here.
And is the Human Services Coalition free to request to do what our departments do, which is towards the end of the year, request that their rollover money roll over?
No, they're really different animals, and for the most part, the amount that you appropriate to them, it's claimed. So it's all, there's really not rollover. We contract with them, we give them the amount. This is a little unusual in that that amount of money was not claimed. So I would call this the equivalent of rollover, analogous to rollover, because we don't, our rollover policy relates only to departments. But much like departments, this money wasn't spent. It fell into fund balance, and now they're asking to bring it back to to spend.
Can
this
I ask
way.
One more? Do you mind? It's, if it's in contingent, does it go to them or does it stay with us? And so for each use of that fund, do they come to us with a request? Or do we just allocate it to them and they decide?
That's a really good question. I would be inclined to appropriate the money to them so that it can, I mean, I think this is kind of a safety net account. Kathy says that there's currently a target for that money. If there's money left over, I think the way we characterized it when it was first appropriated back in 14 was it was kind of a safety net. It was a catch-all. And if the money all went to them, then they could still manage that money if there was anything left after this expenditure that they've talked about here. I think that's the way I would do it. I talked to Rick Snyder before we locked
okay,
that
well, in. If that's how we do it, I mean, I'll vote for this, even for the amendment, but I would request that we get a report to the committee as you spend it, or, you know, maybe once a year on sort of what kinds of things you're being asked to spend it on.
Anyone else? Let me remind you that this is the amendment for 25K. Will, go ahead.
And this is not directly affecting the salaries of my wife's employer.
That's nothing to do with the coalition.
This is essentially your ability to pass through. So I do feel comfortable.
About 16, 17 agencies.
Yeah. And so I will be voting on this unless somebody strongly objects.
Anyone else? Julie?
I supported Peter's increase to $25,000 because just as it's efficient for us to have a contingent fund to be able to draw on relatively quickly. The Human Services Coalition, with its diversity of agencies that it works with, can have needs that occur quite unexpectedly and suddenly and in varying amounts. And it's much more efficient for them to have a contingency fund of their own, a so-called contingency fund. And I think $25,000 is a much more realistic amount. I trust them with it, and we will get it back if they don't need it. And so that's why I supported Peter's increase.
Anyone else? All in favor of the amendment to raise it to $25,000, please raise your hand. Opposed? Anyone want to change their vote? 7-4, 4 against. That passes.
You got to vote again.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's an amendment. Now we have to vote on the original motion, which is now changed to original amendment. Thank you, Kathy. That to $25,000. All in favor of that, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, I don't understand.
It's the original amendment with the new number, $25,000.
Is that what we just voted on?
No. I'm sorry?
I'm confused. I thought that was what
we
just voted
on. Now we have to pass.
Now this is the main motion.
Gotcha.
Look, I'm not making this up, okay?
You know. So a yes vote puts $25,000 in one-time money into the coalition, right?
Yeah, but we have to vote on it now.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2. Anyone want to change their vote? It's 11-0, and, you know, I know when I get beat. I'm not happy about it, but, you know, I will give up. Mike Lane, Solid Waste.
Yeah, this amendment to the Solid Waste annual fee it will not affect the tax levy. It affects the fee. Last year, you might remember that when the bonds were paid off finally, we did what we promised many years ago to the ratepayers, and that was that we would reduce the solid waste fee to give them the benefit of the reduction that we had in our budget because of the payoff of the bonds. And we dropped the solid waste fee by $4. Since then, we've had some problems. I certainly understand that with the prices of commodities. I understand commodities. I understand how they work. And I was a student of Tom Todd many years ago when he was the chair of the Solid Waste Committee or the Public Facilities Committee. I can't remember which. But as a farmer, he talked to us a lot of times about what happens with commodity prices. So I think that we've got to recover some of that. I just don't feel that we need to recover the full $4 this year. We have a great solid waste department. We have a great manager who works very hard. I've watched her over a lot of years, and she sharpens the pencil points and works hard when she does the contracts. And I'm fully confident that with the reserve capability that we can not have to be returned to the full $4, although we have to return to the at least $3.
Anyone else?
So I'll move that.
Is there a second? Glenn seconds. Discussion. Carol Dooley.
So if there isn't anybody else here to speak, to answer questions, are you the person, Joe? You're essentially
no one.
Our
yep.
acting commissioner of Public Works. I'm interested in knowing more about the potential impact on our programs. How much does this represent in dollars? And what does it mean for programs? In particular, does it mean anything for the rollout of the food compost collection program?
Yeah, I talked to Barb on the phone a couple days ago, and then her staff talked to her again today. She's out of town. And in both cases, Barb indicated that she believes that they can do some belt tightening, and they should be able to absorb this without having an impact on program, specifically the food scraps program. I'll ask her about that specifically. And she believes, again, with belt tightening, they will be able to sustain current levels of programs, including the food scrap rollout.
Anyone else?
That's Barb. Barb now. She said, that's not what I said.
Anyone else? I think we're ready to vote on it. Julie?
Well, I had my hand up before, so I might as well say what I was going to say, which is that I don't foresee the commodities markets springing back the way they would have to for us not to have to raise this again next year. And I'd rather just do it once than each year. So I don't support your decrease.
Anyone else?
It's not a decrease, if I may, Jim. It's a $3 increase. It's just not a $4 increase.
Decrease in the original request, which was justified by Barb.
Ah, well.
I too will be voting against this because hearing Barb talk, I was struck at the difficulties they face, which are just enormous. And we have a program that is truly known around the country as one of the best there is. And I understand. I appreciate Barb's willingness to tighten belt and make do, and I'm sure they will if we support that. I'd rather not make things harder for them.
Anyone else?
Martha? I'm supporting this. Again, it's a $3 increase in the fee, and we've heard from the department head that they can live with it.
Anyone else? I think we're ready to vote. It is an amendment to a $3 increase rather than the $4. All in favor, please raise your hand. Opposed. Anyone want to change their vote? I see 8 in favor, 3 opposed. That passes. Carol, do you want to move the next one? We both have our names on support for city waterfront parks.
Yeah, I'll move. And can I move $30,000 and specify what it's for? I'd like to be able to. So this
well,
was
move
put
it,
in,
get it on the floor, and then I'll call on you, and you can
Okay. I will move $30,000 as support for city waterfront parks.
Is there a second for that? Mike, go ahead.
So I've, since we heard the presentation on this, I've had further conversations with people from the city. And as I understand it, is there anybody here from the city? Yes, so I'll summarize, but I'll also ask you to talk about it a little bit. And as I understand it, there are priorities that they have, and the absolute number one priority for the waterfront parks is for operations and maintenance. But they also are seeking money for a study of the parks, and so if they get that money, they will need a match. So I would propose that we approve the $30,000, but that we do half of it as operations and maintenance for both parks, and half of it as study, so that we know a little bit more about what we'd be getting into in the future, or help them know more. And so do I want to, should I ask Liz? Are you Liz? Okay, should I ask Liz to come up now, or should we get some other comments on the floor? Or maybe get some more comments on the floor and then ask her to come up and answer questions? If you'll call on me again after we get some more reaction.
Let me see that. What I was asking, Kathy, is it's $30,000 in here for support for city waterfront parks. What Carol has suggested, that $15,000 goes to a study, $15,000 goes to operating, I believe. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And there was a second for that. Now, let's go around the room, and I'll go Martha, Mike, anybody else, and then other Mike, and Dan. Go ahead, Martha.
Okay, but Carol, you saying this is, it's listed here as one time. Are you saying one time for the whole, including the 15 that's for operations?
Yes, at this point, it is a one-time request.
Okay, I will vote against this because I want to see the $30,000 entirely for the study. I don't, and I'd rather move to amend it, but I'll let the conversation go along, but and maybe come back to amend it. I will read from the memo from Kevin Sutherland on September 17th that was sent to us, given to us. The $30,000 contribution is a new beginning to a cost-sharing solution. I am not at all ready to embark on a cost-sharing solution before we've had a study of the impact of, you know, the pros and cons, the impact, you know, what the results could be, what the future of the parks is, et cetera. In fact, we have a study. It's back in 2002, a 94-page study that the county paid for that looked at Cass and Stewart Parks and the golf course as well. So I think that study needs to be updated. I think at the time, 2002, it kind of said, county really shouldn't do this. So we didn't do anything. We didn't, you know, provide any support at that time. I'm willing to consider that again for the future, but I think we have to do our due diligence and review that study. You know, however it is carried out, that should be a baseline that should be looked at. Just take out the part about the golf course. But, you know, I think $30,000 is probably a healthy support for that study, and I really would not be supportive of putting any operating money in. For one thing, if it's one time, I don't know what that suggests for next year, and that's not usually how we do business. So I'll let the conversation go along and see where that goes.
Down the side of the room, anyone have? Mike has his hand up. Go ahead, Mike.
I second it for Carol because I thought we needed to talk about this.
Sure.
I think it's important. But I'm more in Martha's camp here as to what I think the money ought to be used for. I'm real reluctant to see us, just because there's a request from the city to provide operating funds to do that. If we do that for the city, what about operating funds for Dryden Lake Park, Myers Park, Sykes Park, any other parks that are out there? Are we going to, as soon as they put in a request, agree to give them operating funds too? I think we can open a can of worms that's pretty wide here. But I think what it's talking about, having the city approach us on this, is whether there is a need to change what we are, the way we're thinking about parks. I don't think any of us disagrees that certainly Stewart Park is used by an awful lot of people from throughout the county. Perhaps there would be a role for us in the future, as Martha has intimated here. But we have the study that was done before saying that we shouldn't get into it. I would like to see us take another look at that and see us try to see, is there a county role? But if there is a county role, for example, should the county take over Stewart Park? We don't have any parks. If we did that, that would be a huge and major policy decision that needs a lot of exploration, cost, how we would manage that. Would we have to have more employees? Would we have to have a whole department that we'd have to have dealing with something like that? I don't know. I don't want us to be nibbled at every year until we're now a major player and still don't have any control about it. We, as far as the study's concerned, I would support money for that, but I do want us to have a major role in the RFP saying how that study would be shaped and what it's going to look at.
Anyone on this side of the room? Mike, go ahead.
I'll be quick because Mike pretty much summarized everything I was going to say. So that was great. My big question about the study, I guess, since we're already on that, is, are we still thinking that there's going to be a major redevelopment down there? And if that's the case, I'm hoping the study will kind of go to that. I mean, that's been the time. I mean, there's some meeting next week, I think, about the redevelopment down there, or this week. So.
I think it was at 4 o'clock today. Yeah. And that's the DOT site that's next to the farmer's market.
Right,
that's
right. But I look at the whole thing as like a site. You know, that's our waterfront. So that's what I'm kind of thinking of it as. So.
I don't think they're looking at that in this topic.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to take poor Kevin in Saco, Maine, looking at the ocean's name in vain, but it clearly sounded like to me that they want $30,000 for operations and think about it in a new way. And he is a very clever young man. Go ahead, Dan.
I was wondering if Liz could come up with some questions. Hi, Liz.
Hi.
It's hard to talk in the mic and look at you, but I'll try. So the request is for aid for support for waterfront parks, but we were told that the money would go into the Cass Park budget. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's where it is designated to go. The original request was for $30,000. It was an ongoing request for $30,000 to support waterfront parks and recreation facilities. And we're looking at Stewart Park and Cass Park and the pool and the rink and looking at the usage data for where we can collect it. And it shows that 70% of the users of the Cass Park facilities reside in Tompkins County outside of the city of Ithaca. So recognizing that the facilities and parks are used countywide by residents, we're hoping that we can get other support to help support the parks.
So my question is, if it's going into the Cass Park budget, get over to Stewart Park at all?
The budget for Stewart Park sits in the DPW budget. The budget for Cass Park sits in the Youth Bureau budget. The Youth Bureau handles the pavilion reservations and oversight. We also help with some of the closing down duties at night. The DPW park helps us with some of the Youth Bureau things. I mean, I think that in the big grand scheme of things, even though it sits there, it does help with the with Stewart Park. And then as folks have mentioned about the master plan or the study to create a master plan, we'll look at the parks, the facilities, the services, really take an inventory of everything that's going on. It will engage all of the different stakeholders. It will look at the layout. It'll look at the vision. It'll look at cost recovery. It'll analyze fees, usage, and other items that we feel are important, we being whoever is participating in on that, creating that RFP.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone else? I saw Julie and then Peter, and then we'll come back over here.
So, as I understand Cass Park, it has its revenue stream. It charges for various amenities that county residents and city residents use, but they pay for them. As I look at Stewart Park, I don't see it having a revenue stream. And I don't see data about how many people from where use it, because there's really no simple way to tell that. So I have much more sympathy from a countywide perspective in thinking about the future of Stewart Park, which is certainly a county treasure and a county amenity. It's a regional one also. So I have no desire to have us fund a study of the city's parks, because they're not all waterfront parks. I don't think it's appropriate for us to do that. And I'm having trouble figuring out how we might sensibly contribute to a study of how Stewart Park could continue into the future. And I'm not sure that's the study that's being proposed. So I hope someone can explain that better.
Peter?
I hate this discussion. I've been having this discussion for years now. When I was on the Town of Ithaca board, these arguments between the town and the city and one town and the other town and the school districts. And I grew up in a town called Brookline, Massachusetts, which is roughly the size, the population of Tompkins County. And we had one government. The only government we had was seven people that sat around the table, and one of whom, there were seven selectmen, and then one of them who was elected by them as the head. And they looked at all of the problems of this place, which had a sense of itself as being different than the rest of the suburbs of Boston. And it struck me many, many times that I've come after I came to live here, I said, this is crazy. There are so many different people that have taxing power here, and they're arguing with each other, whose is this, and your people are on my land and my people are on your land, and you make the decisions about what's downtown, but I'll make the decisions about this and so forth. Strikes me as a nutty way of governing 100,000 people. And I hate it every time these discussions come up. That's all I wanted to say.
Maybe there was a motion there.
Editorial comment. You and Andrew Cuomo agree, because Andrew thinks there are way too many governments, and he would just like to have one that he's the head of, but that's not going to happen.
I don't want to be the head of that. Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Martha, and then, or Carol was first, and then Martha. And Will. Whatever.
Okay, so most counties, as Mike pointed out, where did Mike go? Do have parks. I mean, we're one of the, you know, the minority of counties in New York State that doesn't have our own parks. And I agree with Peter. I hate these discussions. And the more that we can approach with intermunicipal cooperation, or, boy, if we want to just make it all one government, I'd actually be for that. But that's not what we've got. We've got what's on the table, and we're strapped. The cities, I assume, I was going to ask Liz the question, you know, why now? But I know the answer to that question. The city is particularly strapped right now, and we've got a big ask coming later in our tonight on our agenda for the city, towards things that, you know, are going to serve all of us. Mike pointed out that there are parks in most of our towns, if not all of our towns, but because of our geography, as well as the fact that cities tend to be the county seat and the center of activity, because that's where people are coming for other reasons. In addition, we've got our geography that sends everybody right through the city of Ithaca, pretty much, and, you know, unless you're going to go up and down hills as you go from town to town. So both our residents, 70% is the estimate, and our visitors. We've got a big tourism program, many activities in which, you know, bring our visitors, in particular to Stewart Park, as well as Cass Park, to some of the children's garden there that we've helped build up. So, you know, why now? It's a good time, both in terms of our tourism program, and in terms of our residents, and in terms of what the city is facing, and that we're asking the city to do, for us to do this year. And why the city, because, you know, you drive down that hill and there's what you see is the park at the base of the hill, and you drive out town another direction and what you see is the park there, with all that's been put there. My question for Liz, I do have one more question for Liz. Would you have an issue, should this body want to specify, because there does seem to be more of a sense that we ourselves have sponsored more activities in Stewart Park. You know, would the city have an issue if we wanted to specify, if somebody here wanted to specify that it was, you know, Stewart Park that we were more interested in supporting?
I think getting people involved, getting the county involved in the parks, whether it's through one or the other, or if you want to divide what you'd want the money to go to, if you want to be involved in creating an RFP, I think involvement is important, and I think that would be wonderful.
Okay, thank you. And then the last thing I'll say is that I agree with Martha that I am not ready to get into proposing target money, which was what was requested, and that's why I put it in here as a one-time amount, so that we could, you know, put our toe in the water and see the results of the study, but to express, to, you know, that we have a commitment.
May I ask you a question, Carol? It's your motion, and are you still in the $15,000 for a study and $15,000 for operation?
Well, I am, and I haven't heard anybody amend that. So,
I mean, I just want to make sure that I understand where we are. And we were down this side of the room, Martha and then Mike and Will. Martha, Will. Will first, Martha, Mike.
What?
Martha, Will.
I've had my hand up for a while.
You guys want to arm wrestle for it? Get back there, and the winner gets to talk first. Go ahead. Go on.
All right. I will make a motion. I will amend. And it's interesting. I was thinking it was a one-time request, but now I see it was a target request. I would like to amend this to say a 30,000 one-time allocation for a study, and that's contingent on the county being involved in developing the RFP. And I assume within that we can perhaps talk about the emphasis on Cass versus Stewart or whatever, but so I don't want to necessarily tie that up right now. But $30,000 to support, in one time, to support the study.
Is there a second? Mike seconds it. Discussion on amendment. 30K to a study. It's motion made and seconded, and go ahead.
I just have a question of Liz, then. Would the city have any problems with the county being involved in helping to formulate the RFP, or has that already been done?
No, the RFP has not been written. We have general areas that we've identified that we want to look at, but we do still need to write up the specific RFP.
And we need to send you the study that's already been done.
You're talking about the ERA study from 2002,
yeah,
which I do remember, and I have a copy of.
I think the city and town were involved in that.
It was the city, the town, and the county. It was a three-way, I don't know if it was an even split, but the three entities contributed financially. And the study that was done at the time, as I remember, did not produce very useful information going forward. There were lots of comparisons made between our community and communities down south that were not similar to our area, and it was very difficult to get any real specific guidance from that. And as I remember, there wasn't a whole lot done with the final information. That I came in, I think, on the tail end of that. So.
Will, Mike Ziegler, and Dave. Go ahead, Will.
So another question for Liz. Do we have any sense what the cost for the study that has been contemplated would be, the total?
Sure. The study will range anywhere between $80,000 to $100,000, and one company that I spoke with to get an idea, the way they operate is they come into a community for 8 months to a year and to conduct the study, to work with all of the stakeholders, to really do surveying and analyzing. So
for example, in the tourism world, we did a study where basically they interviewed people coming to downtown and said, why do you come there? And I know that it's, in terms of Stewart Park, it's been very hard even determining with any level of precision who is using it, although anecdotally, I think, almost everybody I know goes there sooner or later. So
right.
Would this be part of that, or could that kind of an interview piece be feasible within that price range?
Are you asking if they could count how many people are coming?
Or just to sample to document. Again, or maybe that's been done at some point.
Right.
But
there has been over the years some anecdotal sampling or surveying of people who are coming in and out of Stewart Park. And it is difficult to get a sense of who people are and who's coming and going. Because if you look at the use of Stewart Park over a full year, during the summertime, your volume is going to increase because you've got, one example is you've got Stewart Park Day Camp, which operates there. You've got people coming and going to drop their children off. We can tell you that 70% of children that attend that camp live outside the city of Ithaca. That's part of the recreation partnership. We know that's why that's created. And so the traffic in and out fluctuates. Who's going in? Who's going in to drop off? Who's coming in to use it and enjoy it and drive around or walk the trail? So you're correct in that it's very difficult to get a good hard number of who's using it, and that use changes over the season.
So I didn't mean to get us into an extended conversation, but I understand the complexity. I would be supportive of this effort. I would, in fact, be supportive of help with maintenance because I just have a deep love of that park. Feel it's in desperate need of more support from all levels. But I certainly would support the idea of studying and moving toward how we would do that.
Mike Ziegler.
I mean, I don't take this as anything against the park. I just don't really understand what the study is going to do. I mean, we just did one. It sounds like that was a long time ago. It really wasn't that long ago. Has anything really dramatically changed between 2000 and now? I think the park's pretty much the same. I mean, I can tell you what people want in the park. They want to be able to swim. So if you came together with a project that said, hey, people, we can put a swimming hole into Stewart Park, I'd say, wait, maybe we can spend some tourism money on that and put a swimming hole there. I mean, that's pretty easy.
People go to the park because they got free barbecues and they can get their whole family together and they don't have to spend a lot of money to go there. I don't really need a study to tell me that's what people go there for. I mean, I go to the park. I see that. And the waterfront trail is a wonderful addition to that park. It gets people from that park down the trail, back from the trail. And that was not, I mean, I'm sure that was some government money, but that was a private effort to make that park better. Not just the park, but the whole waterfront. So I don't know. I just don't think anything has really changed over the last 15 years dramatically that we're going to do another study and somehow we're going to say, oh, well, this is what we can do to this park to make it awesome. Sometimes things are just the way they are. I mean, the park's great. Are we suggesting that something dramatic is going to change about that? I don't know.
Is that a question of Liz, who's right?
Excuse me, Carol.
I don't know if it's a question. More of an
I got you, Martha. But Dave, and then Dan, and then back to Martha.
Yeah, I was just wondering what the annual budget for maintenance on either of the or both of the parks is.
So that was one of the questions that we provided follow-up information to, is what are the approximate costs? And I know when Suki was here on the 21st, she explained how the budgets are very separate, but we were able to pull from both budgets, and I can give you an approximate number. The approximate amount spent on the parks is $1.1 million. Someone else asked, what are the ballpark figures for Cass and Stewart Parks by category, programming versus maintenance versus capital projects? The programming specific expenses are $62,000 roughly. Maintenance is roughly $303,000. Revenue that's generated is approximately $438,000. So that was on, you know, we had provided that follow-up PDF to address that question.
Dan Klein.
So the study that was done in 2002 was titled For Recreation. That was right in the title of the study. And this is being called a master plan. Is that correct?
Sure, a master plan.
So I guess I'd say one thing that's different is that is a different focus. I think a master plan is looking at more aspects of parks, what's involved in them, running them, maintaining them. Another difference I would see is that we are seriously entertaining the question of whether the county should be involved in a partnership or some other version of greater involvement in the parks. And so that's a question that this study would be addressing or could be addressing, especially if we're paying for part of it. What would that look like? What could that look like? How would finances work? So I don't know that it'll come up with an answer, like, you know, a sudden, you said there's nothing new to find out, and that may be true, but I think we'll be asking some different questions that are worthwhile asking.
Martha?
Yeah, I would just add that, updating it is one thing. 12, 15 years is significant. I think when I saw that it was 94 pages, I didn't reread it. Even the executive summary was 7 pages. So I didn't remember that it was that they looked at states that were very different than ours. So and certainly governance is an issue. If we're going to be sharing the ongoing expenses, which is proposed, are we just putting in money to the city's operation, or do we want to invent something, I don't know, like TCAT, you know, a partnership? So I think there are a bunch of questions, and I don't think it's not just about what facility changes would people like to see, although I suppose that's a possibility. I'm looking at it in terms of kind of what's the ongoing governance look like and what's the appropriate role of each entity.
And Dooley, and then we'll go to vote. Dooley?
Yeah, I find the description of the study is still too amorphous and large for what I think our interest should be, which is not Cass Park, but which is just Stewart Park. And I don't know, so I can't support this. If we had, and I don't have time to craft wording that I can offer at this moment because I'm not as familiar with the details as many of you are. It's just, it's not what I can support at the moment.
Let me comment on this. I came into the room ready to support something, but I'm going to be like Hillary Clinton on the international trade agreement, and I'm going to change my vote. What I would like to see, and I know that all of you will, the city may be shocked and dismayed. You want to give us the park? We would use the $30,000 in a positive way to look at running Stewart Park in a more in an efficient way. And all it would take would be, you know, we'll give you a dollar, we own it, and we'll take it over. We would then be a county who owned a park, and you would have money to run your cast park any way you wanted to. So it, I think it's time for a vote. All in favor of the...
Wait, what's on the floor? Is there,
what?
Is there an amendment on the floor?
Yeah.
No, it's not an amendment. There is an amendment on the floor for $30,000. It's my comment. It's $30,000.
No. We haven't voted on
it. An amendment.
Did somebody said they were going to make an amendment to make it all for the study rather than...
Yeah, that's what I did.
You did that.
But we didn't vote on that. And Kevin, I would say I want to specify that it's Stewart and Cass. And if we're one vote shy, I'll change it to just Stewart. But if the city wants to look at Stewart and Cass, I'm interested in just participating.
So what are we voting on?
The study of all the city parks, the waterfront parks.
So what's the intention, Liz? All the
did someone go ahead?
I wondered what's the city's intention on what's going to be looked at.
It is to look at to look at everything and come up with a master plan for all of the parks. If you look at
all city parks or all waterfront parks.
Carol,
the waterfront parks are part of the city parks. So it is a piece. And if you look at each entity, and I think this is where I'd like to just say it's I understand the interest and the love of Stewart Park, but I think it would also be important to recognize that Stewart Park is now connected to Cass Park with the waterfront trail, and it's used by residents countywide. Both parks are used by residents countywide. And to make decisions about one park without considering what's going to happen at another park is difficult. There needs to be a way to connect all of the dots. And there are many different stakeholders in Stewart Park and Cass Park. There are folks who love Stewart Park and want to make changes and recommendations. We've got friends who want to, who are proposing new things.
Right. My question is it just Stewart and Cass? Are you going to look at the golf course? Are you going to look at downtown parks?
City parks.
City parks.
City parks and recreation as one, and looking at the governance issue, which has been brought up.
Well, I don't think it's appropriate for us to be looking at all the parks. Is there a way for us to really have this identified as helping to
support
of that?
Support the piece that looks at the waterfront parks? I mean, if you know, the studies is a year-long study, which will cost anywhere between $80,000 to $100,000. So if that portion was specified to look at specifically Stewart Park and the involvement be on developing the RFP, which relates to that Stewart Park portion, that sounds like that's what you're suggesting or that's what you would support.
Let me make a comment. We're pretty far in the weeds here or the water. Right now what we have is an amendment for $30,000 to do an RFP, and you're all saying that the county should be involved in the construction of the RFP. Is that kind of what we're thinking about? I think we're ready to vote on that. All in favor of that, please raise your hand.
Making this the main motion of accepting the amendment?
Yes. all in favor of, I guess, Martha's amendment to $30,000 RFP. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4. 6 in favor, 4 opposed. Anyone want to change their vote?
Six to four.
The vote is 6 in favor, and four vote? Peter, did you vote?
Yeah.
What did you vote?
Opposed.
6-5.
6-5. It passes, right. Back to main motion, right? The main motion is 30,000 RFP that we're involved in.
Could you restate precisely what we're voting for now? Now that it's been amended to be what Mark had moved,
I would like
to understand. Where,
can I do it? 30,000 for a study. And we're involved in the RFP. Anything more than that, Martha?
A study of all city parks.
It says,
and recreation.
Fund study of Stewart and Cass Parks.
Stewart and Cass Park.
But my that's why I asked, because my understanding is it's a study of all city parks and recreation. Which
well, Joe is here.
Who?
Joe. I'm guessing Joe's going to be able to figure out, Marianne,
as
that he's heard all this, I think, you know, and negotiating.
Go ahead, Joe.
Figure out how to do this.
You want me to recast it? Do you want me to?
Martha, you're asking Joe a question?
No, I'm just saying that is the kind of thing we leave up to staff. We say what we're intending to do, and Joe will work with staff and at the city, and suppose a draft can come to whichever committee we. Is it the right committee and, you know, go through our usual process. But.
Planning, of course.
Let me recap just for a moment. Martha, you're talking about a study of Stewart and Cass, nothing else.
Right.
Is that what everyone understands?
No.
No?
That's not what the city is going to do. So I don't understand how we can limit what the city is going to do.
We can limit it by not giving them any money.
Other than that.
Joe, go ahead.
I'll try. The city is going to do a comprehensive master plan. An element of that master plan is going to involve Stewart and Cass Parks. And that is really at the heart of what the legislature wants us to look at. Given that it's a $100,000 study and that the county's contribution under this amendment would be $30,000, it can almost be said that our contribution is helping to provide funds to do the Stewart and Cass Park element of the study.
Dooley, go ahead. Excuse me, Carol. Dooley, please, go.
The idea that, first of all, as I understand it, they've talked to one consultant firm and gotten a range of what that particular consultancy might charge. I don't know that that is what will be why. That's what they'll wind up with. But to say that somehow Stewart and Cass can be segregated out from this study, and that's the only part we're going to contribute to, seems very strange to me because a consultant will look at the whole mishmash together. So I don't thank you for trying to explain how this is different. I don't see the difference, and so I can't vote for it.
Martha.
All right. I'm going to move to put $30,000 into our contingent fund, in with this idea as the purpose. And if I can just, if I get a second, I'll explain
it. All right. Is there a second? And Will second. Go ahead, Martha.
So, for example, if there's an RFP, you know, we work with the city and come up with an RFP, and it says we want. They want to look at 10 parks. And you know what? If most people here are more interested in Stewart and will take Cass off, that's fine. I'll do happy if that makes it easier. But it seems to me, I mean, we have bid alternates all the time. You know, where we say, okay, send in an RFP to do this. And we might say for a highway, how much extra would it cost to do the drainage, you know, under, you know, new drainage? How much extra would it cost to do a traffic light? So I'm making this up, obviously, but the point is I think it could be definable what the scope of work is, and consultants could be asked to kind of bid pieces of the project, pieces of this study.
Discussion on... Only on moving it to contingency. Carol?
I think this is getting ridiculously into the weeds to change it yet again. I think, you know, in our budget books, it was listed and, you know, originally as support for
operation maintenance program, but it
had to do with the waterfront parks, and I think it's pretty obvious that that's our intent, and I think our staff can handle it. Do we really want to come back to the legislature and have to bring it out of
my answer is yes, but
we should ask Liz, is it doable that a piece of this, I mean, the other aspect of this for me is that Stewart and Cass Parks is so, the usership is so much higher than the rest of the parks, that's obviously what the bulk of the study, if we're talking about surveys of people coming in and out, it doesn't even have to be said. So to further complicate this by putting it in contingent and have it coming back, let's trust our staff to work with staff from the city and make happen what your intent was, which you know, I supported in the end.
So you're going to vote against putting in the contingent?
Yeah, vote against it. Anyone else? I think we're ready to vote. Will?
I respectfully disagree with Carol. I think given the uncertainties and all the questions, I'm hoping by that move this will at least provide some relief to people that have serious questions, that before this money is released, we will come to through a committee and try to get clarity on how it's to be used. So I will support.
Okay. Julie, last comment, please.
Well, I was just thinking about Cass Park and Alan H. Treeman, which is a state park. But the people who come to Treeman spill over into Cass Park. There is, to separate out the state, the study is much more complicated than it sounds, and I might support putting money into contingency.
Good.
But I need to have a better understanding of what will bring it out of contingency before we vote, if someone could just make that clear.
I don't think Martha is Merlin, the magician, I think by putting in contingency gives you the opportunity to develop the information that you want before it ever comes out of contingency. Does that make any sense?
Maybe. Yay, Jim.
It's rare, isn't it? I think we're ready to vote on it. All in favor of putting $30,000 into the contingency for... a study of parks. Please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Opposed? I'm sorry. 1, 2. Peter, opposed. Anyone want to change their vote? 6 in favor, 4 against. It's in contingency. Maybe.
No, that was just to make it the motion.
The count can't be right either.
Oh, I have to vote one more time.
6-5.
How quick they forget. now we have to vote one more time. All in favor of, we opened the door of the contingency account, now we're going to step through it. All in favor of putting in contingency, please raise your hand. Kevin.
The main motion. Are we up to the main motion, or are we revoting?
The main motion. Kevin.
Can I get a quick check to make sure I've fairly captured the amendment on the screen?
Yep, that works for me.
Money.
That's fine.
To study or support a study.
That's fine. Support. I think you just say to support a study, Stuart.
All in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3.
I'm sorry.
No.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Opposed. It's 5-5.
No, it's 6-5.
Isn't that 6-5? How many people are here? 11? Yeah. 6-5. Oh, I guess it passes. And I don't really care what happens. I hope it gets voted down the next time we do it. I think we're done with that. If I were the city, I wouldn't count on it, though.
Let's make it the last time they come to us for money.
Yeah, exactly. That'll teach them. Chuck Burbank, Kiefer, Bring Food Net staff the living wage. It's a COFA agency target. Someone want to move it? Will moves. Is there a second? Julie seconds. Discussion. All in favor of this, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Anyone want to change their vote? It passes 11-0. Another shutout. Thank you. Boy, that was easy. I hope the director didn't spend the whole night here. If she did. Julie Kiefer, on the back page, History Center, fully fund the OTR with target funds, $25K, History Center, OTR 32. Julie, you want to move it?
I would
be pleased
to move it.
Is there a second? Dan, discussion. Peter.
I'd like some information. I mean, what support does the History Center have?
The director's here.
Good evening. I'm Rod Howe. I'm the executive director. So we get funding from a mix of sources, Peter. We get it from the county, from state grants, from private foundations, from donors, from program fees, certainly, for instance, from the 8th Square Schoolhouse related to the Kids Discover the Trail. There's program fees. So it's really a mix of funding streams.
Comments? Other? Martha.
Doesn't the county's support right now only go for the rent?
Yes, it covers the rent and the utilities.
Okay, I'm going to vote against this. I think this is a sort of an adventure in a new direction, and I think it's a worthy cause. I mean, I know it's a worthy cause. I think it's probably a wise idea, but I just don't think we can do that at this point. It's a new position, and I don't think we're in that position right now.
Mike.
As I recall, this is in at one-time money, and I would think that we should keep it that way for a year and take another look at it next year.
Wait.
And the county administrator, if I can, I believe you recommended it, but a different request than was made, right?
We recommended that it be one-time money.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Peter Stein.
Can you give me some logic as to why a bookkeeper you would only want for 1 year? If you need him for 1 year, I think you'd need him for every year or her.
It's a capacity building allocation. So as you know, in the tourism fund, it's very common to make grants to allow an organization to build capacity. So that's exactly what we have in mind here. That's what we talked to Rod about, is whether if there is access to a bookkeeper to take some of the burden off the executive director who's keeping the books right now, I think, would that allow the executive director to do other higher value-added things like raising money and doing things like that, that in turn would allow this bookkeeper to be supported with their own funds in the future. So we looked at this as an investment in the capacity building of the organization.
But certainly we do see it as an ongoing need. And this, I know the question came up last time, and so we said, no, we do need it as a permanent position. Fortunately, I don't keep the books. We do contract out for bookkeeping, but there'd be some savings if we combine this with administrative functions, because I do a lot of the administrative functions.
So you think there's a reasonable chance that this will not turn into a cargo thing?
That was my belief, yes.
Okay.
Well, I know that that is the county administrator's hope. I see it as a necessary position from now into the future, and that's why I moved it as a permanent addition.
So what are we voting on, a permanent addition?
We're voting on a target $25,000 bookkeeper, right? Part-time and other things.
Administrative assistant bookkeeper, right.
Carol?
So wait, am I correct that the county administrator, the request was $25,000 target. The county administrator approved it as one time And Dooley's motion would bring it back to target?
It was requested as one time,
yes.
And Joe approved it as one time. And that kind of thing happens in discussions with department heads and the administrator all the time. They can agree on one-time stuff. But when I later spoke with the executive director, and when he was here before, it became pretty clear that this is a position that is going to be needed not just now but into the future. And it's just a part-time position, but for a small organization like this, that makes a big difference.
So I'm not understanding.
This is my.
So on our original sheet with the color coding, it's in here as something that was where the request was only partially met by the administrator, not entirely turned down and not entirely met. So what about this was the original request was not?
Nope. There were a couple of variations that occurred. Rod, I can't remember if you originally asked for a target. Or one time?
The first request went in, I think it was 37.5 target on a regular basis that included the bookkeeper and then a couple of other small things.
Several things in there. So it was a target request, but I believe that this portion of it was $15,000 originally.
Correct.
And then Rod and I talked about this also being an opportunity to begin doing things with Historic Ithaca.
Right.
Doing things in cooperation with them. To realize some efficiencies in it's almost like a shared service approach in these two organizations working together. That then affected the amount of funding we were talking about. So it went from $15,000 to $25,000. Again, in terms of a capacity building grant, if you want to call it that. So at that point it converted from target to one time and the approach became capacity building as opposed to ongoing support for the position.
You're right. Thank you for that, because originally it was at 15,000, and so it was actually 27.5, I think, we put in, but that included a couple of other things.
Right.
We pulled away those other things and increased that.
Right. Okay. And then refresh my memory. So in addition to what we provide directly in the rent and the other stuff you mentioned, are there also contracts?
I think this is it.
This is it.
What you see in the budget is what we provide.
Right. And then last one. When you were presenting to us originally, you said, you know, I won't fight really hard for this because it's my first year and I need to ramp up. Was that over this or was
it? No, it was over the two other, the ones that weren't proposed by the county administrator. I think there was small money in there for two interns and a small money in there for cleaning support. So I said, I'm not fighting for those. But this one I feel is really strongly about.
$12,000.
Correct.
It's 25 target. I'm going to vote against this. I would support 25 one time if we ever get around to that.
That's what's in the budget now. The 25 one time is...
Yeah, but what the amendment here is 25 target, right?
So it's in the budget, the one time?
Yes.
It's currently in the recommended budget
as
one time. Right.
Okay. Are we ready to vote on Dooley's amendment? All in favor of 25K target, please raise your hand. Opposed. All the rest. That failed.
What was the count?
What? 3-8. 8-3. 3 in favor, 8 again.
So I guess we can expect to see this next year, too.
All right. Someone want to do something different? Oh, it's in the budget. We're done. Sorry. Gee, it's just me. Leslin is not here. Dooley Kiefer, Office of Human Rights, OTR 470 out the OTR. I believe it's $2,900. Dooley, you want to move it?
Yes, sure. Yes, I'll move it.
And is there a second?
I need to explain it.
Well, we need to get it on the floor. Is there a second? I will second it. Go ahead, Dooley.
So my understanding is that last year's budget for the office included a tidy sum for travel and training or whatever, travel mostly, attending conferences. And as I understand it, none of it was spent, so it's still all there. So to add money to that rollover doesn't make any sense to me until we see how things actually go, when there actually is attendance at conferences or whatever it's going to be used for. So it's a simple thing. I didn't see a need to increase something when nothing has been spent.
Anyone else? Will.
Dooley's logic makes sense. I wonder if Karen wanted to respond to that, though.
Yes, that's a good idea.
Dooley, you're absolutely right. That's correct. I would say that we fit into the same category as the HSC community agencies. That's unspent money. But when it goes into rollover, we don't have access to it. So that's my understanding, is that...
You're part of our charter.
Right? But that's my understanding, that rollover isn't immediately available the following year.
Joe, you want to clear that up?
Yes, everybody's right. it's interesting because the rollover, as you recall, came kind of late this year, so we weren't able to build it into the 2016 budget. So some departments may have had rollover money, but it was too late to put it in here. So Karen's right in saying that we had said you can't apply rollover into the 2016 budget. So Karen is right. Dooley is right in noting that there was an allocation for travel and training in the 2014 budget or the 2015 budget? 2015 budget. And that if it goes unspent, it will go into the office's rollover account. And so when Rick finishes the calculation of rollover next year, Karen will have an opportunity to come to the legislature and ask that you appropriate that money for whatever purpose she may ask for, including travel and training. So if she doesn't spend
year?
It.
Peter, excuse
so
me.
For next year, let's say at mid-year, we would have the rollover calculations done. This isn't personnel, so it would be allowed to go into rollover. And at that time, Karen would have an opportunity to come to you and ask for you to authorize her to spend that money. So it would be available at that time.
I have two comments, if I may.
Let me go to Martha, and then I'll go back to you, and then Carol. Go ahead, Martha.
So is the unspent money $87.50?
I don't think the department's going to spend any. Well, I know they won't spend anything this year.
Okay. So is there a timing issue? So if there's a conference that's in March, does Karen have a problem because the rollover isn't cleared till June?
Yes.
So what if we... So you've got 29 in target. So what happens to the 8750? I'm looking at the budget page, 226. So then that just stays in a rollover. Okay. So I guess I might say I would leave the 2900 but take the rollover when it comes up in June, when we look at all the rollover requests and it's evident that there's extra money there, then we return that to the general fund or whatever.
You mean prejudge where it's going?
The issue is that if we take away the target travel money and expect her to rely on rollover, she doesn't, because of timing, unless there's a way for a department head to ask for it ahead of time, no, I don't think so. It comes on this schedule that's like June is like the earliest. So if there's a conference in March, she doesn't have the funds to pay for it. So my thinking is the rollover money is unusual, unusually high for whatever reason, and it should stay in rollover. And when the rollover requests come to us in June, we should expect that we will recover that, put it back in the general fund. So that rollover amount will go away. But she'll have her 2,900 target.
Carol, and then Mike.
Okay. You lost me several steps ago here. If I'm not understanding why Karen wouldn't have her rollover if other departments do. But in any case, if our a simpler way of answering the question might be, if our intent is to do what we thought before we all put in our requests and have Karen start the year with the $2,900 that you were recommending that she have in the budget towards travel, conferences, whatever it was called. What do we have to do to get her there, given whatever the status of the rollover is? Do we have to add or subtract? Or?
Well, there's $2,900 in target dollars in the recommended budget. So there's a travel account of $2,900 in the recommended budget. I think all Martha is saying is that there will be a rollover next year. And what you may want to do at rollover time is to say, we kind of advanced you the $2,900 through the operating budget, so we don't want you to spend, I don't know if you were saying, the full amount of the $2,900 in rollover at that time.
No, the full amount of the $8,750, if that's what goes forward.
If we don't do this, will Karen have $8,750 plus $2,900 to spend on conferences next year?
She will have $2,900 assured. She will have $8,750 that is speculative. So it would be in rollover, and she would be able to bring it back for me and then you to approve her to spend on travel or any other purpose. You would have to authorize that.
That she doesn't get to use until June?
That's correct. So it's not calculated. Our books don't close until April, May. So we don't really have an account of how much is in the net rollover until mid-year. So that's the timing issue that we're talking about.
Dooley and then Mike. Back to you, Dooley.
Well, this fall, we got a lot of rollover usage requests. And every one of them had in bold-faced cap letters, can't use this in 2016, which I disagreed with as soon as I saw that. The fact that they're coming to us late this year is not the department's fault, but they are all being told you can't use it when you think you could use it. So department by department, committee by committee, we voted on those rollover requests. But we never, as a legislature, had a discussion of your decision to have that capital boldface, you can't use this money. Because it's late.
And we couldn't put it in the budget because we didn't know what the numbers were, so we were unable to do it. If we had allowed them to put rollover money in the budget that we didn't have, that would have certainly set us up for a difficult problem with the budget. I will remind you on this one, the rollover we're talking about is anticipated rollover. We're not talking about 2014 rollover that was appropriated by the legislature a few weeks ago. We're talking about money that we expect to save in 2015, which would be available to the departments in 2016. That's what we're talking about here.
And for a new incumbent with no previous year's rollover to work with, it's particularly difficult. And I didn't challenge your blanket statements. It's too late to do this year, because I don't think it is too late or was too late. And it really only affects this department seriously because...
But this department didn't have the 2014 rollover.
That's right.
There was no rollover.
So all they have is... Well, I'm not happy the way rollover has been handled this year. You can tell that. And it makes it particularly difficult to deal with this particular piece of the budget.
Anyone else? Mike, sorry. Go ahead.
I'm just looking that should be passed that you don't gain very much. Its impact on the levy is 0.01%. I think it's a pretty small amount of money to leave in this budget. There's people there. They deal with state and federal regulations a lot, and I think that's important that they have training. So I can't support this one.
Anyone else? So Dooley's amendment is to zero out $2,900. Am I correct?
That was because I understood that they had all this money in rollover, and Joe has just made it clear that no.
They don't have rollover immediately, but they have rollover sometime later.
It sounds as though it will make it the first half of this coming year very strange.
Peter.
I would, for this poor, tired old man, I'd like someone to tell me what happens if I vote yes on this amendment and what happens if I vote no on this amendment, assuming everybody does what I do, okay?
Go ahead.
If you vote yes, that means there will be nothing in the travel and training account for the Office of Human Rights. There is some chance that Karen could come back next year once rollover amounts are known and ask you to appropriate money for her travel. That would happen mid-year sometime. So for the first half of the year, there wouldn't be any money available for travel and training. In the second half, there probably would be. You probably grant that. That's if you vote yes for this. If you vote no for the amendment, it means that she will have $2,900 in her travel and training account in her target. So that's in her baseline for 2016 and beyond.
Okay, thank you very much.
I'm
ready to vote.
Dooley, you're...
What is 29? Where did that number come from, Joe?
I think I made it equivalent to what my department has per capita, and I applied that to human rights.
For travel and training.
Yeah. So I looked at what we spend in our own office for travel and training, and I used that as a benchmark for human rights.
I think we can vote on it.
I just want to thank Kevin for putting together a table that everybody was emailed this afternoon or this morning. It shows every department's travel and training budget and how many FTEs and what was recommended and what. And so, is that printed on our tables here?
I think we're ready.
There it is. Anyway,
can I just add one piece of a fact?
Are we ready? It's Dooley's amendment to zero out the $2,900. All in favor, please raise your hand.
I'm thinking of withdrawing it.
Well,
too late.
How long are you going to wait?
I was just looking at the handout. I hadn't seen. You want to vote? Go ahead, vote.
I will withdraw.
You are going to withdraw?
No.
All in favor of Dooley's amendment, please raise your hand. Apparently, I'm the only one, and I'm happy about that. Anybody who
opposed,
please go ahead and raise your hand. I got to paste it. Anyone want to change their vote?
No, I'll vote with you, Jim.
Two in favor, and the rest again opposed. It's 2-9.
And it looks like on Monday we could probably talk about this all again.
Yeah, it's a good ball score. All right, next one. Oh, this is the one everyone came for. Peter Stein, Will Burbank, Dooley Kiefer, additional operating support contingent upon match by other partners. $103,568. Someone want to move that? Peter moves. Is there a second? Dooley seconds. Dan. Well, we'll give the Dan. Discussion about this amendment.
Thank you.
Wait.
I'm sorry.
I'll go to you, and then we have a couple of people over here. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'd like to make a little statement about this amendment. I've been talking to a lot of you one-on-one about this amendment and, about this motion. And I've heard a lot of issues. And I would like to respond to a number of the issues that I have heard and explain to you why I believe that this is very important, not only for TCAT, but for our future as a forward-looking community that wants to reduce global warming. Okay. So here are the things that I have heard which bother people. One is that TCAT is not a sustainable organization, that the amount of money that is required to keep it running will keep going up and up and up and up, and there's no way that we are going to, at some point, we're just going to have to stop doing it. I believe that that is completely wrong, and I'd like to explain why. And in the course of that, I will explain what this number, this strange number, 103,568, where that number comes from. And this comes from a calculation that's been made that has the following assumptions in it. One, that the mortgage recording tax, which, and by the way, I'd like to say once more to bless Pam Magasy, because I can't figure out how TCAT could have survived without the mortgage recording tax. But the mortgage recording, the assumption here is that the mortgage recording tax is used completely for capital expenses. TCAT has a great problem with capital expenses. These buses are old, they're unreliable now, and it's critical that those buses be replaced. And if we use the mortgage recording tax completely for capital, which means essentially voting for new buses and perhaps fixing up the garage that we have there, then if TCAT receives from the three partners, each one, $103,568, then it will be enough to pay for the operating expenses. And therefore, if it goes forward with that amount, with that payment from the partners, it is a sustainable operation. That the buses will be paid for as they come ready to buy, and the operating expenses will be paid for. So we look at that as, namely, a statement that it is a sustainable operation, and it will not be a continual greater and greater and greater drawl on the on our funds. Second, I have heard the statement that, from some of you, that we're tired of hearing TCAT keep coming to us asking us for more money. And the only way I can answer that is to say that TCAT has not been to us for more than 7 years asking for an additional payment. The payment that we gave them 7 years ago is the same payment. It's not true. A third one that I've heard is that TCAT has too large a fund balance, that it should suspend some of its fund balance. And I would like to hold that back for a while and explain a little. Well, let me just say exactly why I think that's not true. TCAT does have a big fund balance, but that fund balance is playing very close to the margin of not being able to pay the debts. That if there are problems that come up for a particular year, it's not necessary. They do not have the money to pay for them without having a larger than usual fund balance. And at the end, I would like to describe for you one such program which has come up recently that has not been in the newspapers. Another argument that I hear is that, well, Cornell has now gives TCAT more money, and therefore we can live on that. That's not true at the moment. That's only very partially true. Let me tell you what Cornell has agreed to do. For many years, TCAT argued that Cornell owed it more, $500,000, that Cornell should have paid TCAT $500,000 a year more than they did pay them. Cornell refused to do it. That was a big battle, and Martha was part of that battle. A lot of people were part of that battle, demanding that Cornell pay what they owed. And in the end, you all know that the president of Cornell, the departed president of Cornell, said that Cornell would. But what that would meant was not that they would pay any of the past $500,000 that they didn't pay, nor would they start paying $500,000 every year for the money that TCAT said they should have paid. What they've done is they have paid, instead of $500,000, they pay $107,000 this year instead of $500,000. The year after that, they'd pay two times $107,000. The year after that, they would pay $500,000. So it's not true that what we read in the paper immediately solved TCAT's problems. Secondly, we have no agreement with Cornell as to what is going to happen after 3 years. That's still up for negotiation, and we don't know what we're going to end up with. So it is not true that what the president of Cornell decided to do has solved all of TCAT's problems. The last thing I want to talk about is a current problem, which is very, very scary at TCAT. TCAT has lost a significant number of drivers, and TCAT no longer has enough drivers to drive all of the routes. And TCAT has been forced into a situation where it must hire companies that rent drivers to them to carry to be able to fulfill the schedule that we have. This is extremely frightening because it's not clear where TCAT is going to find the drivers that are necessary to drive all of the routes. And there are many ideas, but there's no real sure sense that we're going to be able to solve that problem without reducing the number of routes. That's where we're at the moment. And one reason that we are able to hire these drivers, new drivers, is that we have a fund balance which is large enough to cover it over. So that's my argument. I think that TCAT is really a unique service in this small county that we live in. Very few counties of this size have a bus service of the type that we have. If we are to make this a sustainable bus service, then we must somehow get an additional payment from its partners of roughly this number per year that I quoted. TCAT's rules say that the three partners, if the three partners come to different numbers, then low partner wins. At the moment, I know that Cornell is prepared to pay that particular increase, that number that I mentioned before. The city has not. The city has not indicated that it will pay. And a matter of fact, in Cervantes' budget, it says that the city will not pay any additional money to TCAT. I'm hoping that if we and Cornell can go to the city, each of us agreeing to pay an additional $103,000, blah, 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 that we will be able to make, or that the city will change its mind and decide that this is an important enough service to pay for it, to keep it going. That's my argument. I'm happy to answer any questions. And the TCAT people at the back there are also happy to answer any questions you have.
Mike.
Peter, that was very cogent. You spent a lot of time thinking about that. I've never been interested in the idea of playing chicken on these with the other two entities on how much we're going to be able to afford to raise the amount. You say it's been 7 years, but I just can't take the mortgage tax, which I voted against, by the way, and set it aside and say, you know, that's just something else. We just haven't done anything for TCAT for 7 years. I can't see it that way. But on the other hand, I do think that we probably need to do something because our base ought to be going up for TCAT. And we can argue all day about how big TCAT should be and how expensive it should be, and how small our county is, and the fact that we do have a better bus system than everywhere else. Well, they don't think they can afford it everywhere else, but you know, we seem to say, well, we ought to be able to afford it. So I just can't say, particularly having some discussions with the city about their not being able to afford $103,000, I can't see supporting this amendment tonight. So, but I could support something, and I'm going to move to amend your proposal to the one Jim has, which is to increase our contribution by $25,000, which would be if the other two could match that. And I have a feeling with some discussions I've had with the city that they could come up with some, that that would be something that we could move forward with and the three partners could live with.
Is there a second for Mike's motion? Mike Ziegler seconds. Discussion. Carol and Peter and then Dooley.
So I agree that it was a cogent explanation, and thank you for not repeating the things we'd already heard, because a lot of that was new. I agree with parts of it, and I don't agree with parts of it, and I agree with part of what Mike's approach is, but not the number he's getting to. I think that it's not reasonable to take a service that's really important to the functioning of our community and say there shouldn't be an increase in the partner share in a 7-year period. You know, expenses go up higher than that, and there hasn't been enough of a rise. And you can't keep functioning that way. So I think it's reasonable for us, and you know, as partners, to say, yeah, we need to raise it some and to do it as target. On the other hand, I think that the facts on the ground, if you will, you know, when the partnership was set up, are not the same as they are today. The riders, where they're going, where they're coming from, where the routes are, you know, are not the same as they were when we put this system together. And so to say that we should just take the full amount, you know, divide it in thirds and just cover it for the foreseeable future and then hope the feds step up with more buses, that doesn't work for me either. You know, I think I want to see, you know, I might get there by next year or the year after, but I'd want to see more of an attempt by the partners to talk out and come to something that speaks to the realities of the where the riders are going and coming from. In my own case, I live two blocks from a major through street into town, State Street, out Route 79 East, and I can't take a bus into town and back, into town in the morning and back in the afternoon. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. I think that needs to be grappled with some, and so just stepping up for the whole amount and saying, well, we never have to talk about it again, doesn't make sense to me either. And your explanation about what Cornell did, it clarified for me, so thank you. I appreciate having that explanation, but even more strongly to me speaks to the fact that not enough has been done. So, on the other hand, $25,000 after 7 years of not raising, that doesn't make sense to me either. So I'd like to amend Mike's amendment to do $50,000.
Is there...
Is right. What I'd like to do. So we can do that?
You can't do that.
I can't do that?
No. Not. You can't amend an amendment.
To an amendment.
Yeah.
To an amendment. You can't amend an amendment to an amendment.
You mean
okay.
The main motion is actually an amendment, right?
Right.
The main motion.
Right.
The
main so this is like step three. So you got to vote down one or up one, and then you can put yours on the floor.
What were the first one was the one under 3,000 plus.
Right. And then Mike amended it, 15. But can't amend Mike's amendment.
Yeah, I think you
He's
can.
He's saying the 103 itself, and all of the what main. We're putting forward are amendments to the budget, right. To the administrator's budget. So they're amendments to start with, is what they're interpreting. Right.
Thank you.
I don't know whether what we've done in the budget.
Okay. So Mike's is the amendment on the floor that we're...
So then I'm not going to support Mike's.
It would have been really nice if you said that right away. Is there any other discussion about Mike's amendment? Martha.
I'm certainly sympathetic to all of this, to the request. And Peter, if I ever need an advocate, I'm going to call you. So, because you've done a great job carrying this water. But... I don't think, I mean, TCAT shouldn't have needed to be nudged as hard as they were to go to Cornell and negotiate a reasonable fair price. So I guess I would support a little more than 25. I guess I'm going to watch the hands go up because I might support 50, or I might support 33. But I think we should do a little more, but not all of this.
Anyone else talking about Mike's amendment? Dooley.
Yeah, I find Mike's amendment too little. If we are serious about thinking TCAT's a good thing and this is an amount of money that they have said they need us to step up to this year, and we have sufficient funds on hand to do that, I think that's what we should do. As Peter pointed out, if other partners can't match that, it's not playing chicken with partners. It's saying, this is what we can do. We value this. So I think we should support the amount they asked for. And as Peter said, the partner that can only afford a lower amount will carry the day. But it doesn't mean that we can only afford the lower amount. So I can't support Mike's amendment.
I have a question. Who is the Cornell rep on the board now, on the TCAT board? So anybody?
What is the question?
The question is, who is the Cornell rep on the TCAT board?
There are three of them, but I don't think any of them are there. Are
no,
there?
I don't want. I just want to know their names. That's all.
Alice, tell them their names. I'm at the point where I can't remember anyone's name.
We'll all get there.
Three reps, David Howe, Kelly Page, and Bridget Brady.
And they're the Cornell reps?
They are the Cornell reps.
Okay. Let me say, you saw my $25,000, which was going to be next, and I will support the $25,000. I will not support the $103,000. And I may have some trouble if we ever get to 50. My sense is that, and I believe the city might go 25. I do not believe the city will go any higher than that, and evidenced by the fact that they're over here asking us for $30,000. So, and they wanted to put it in operation, and you smartly didn't do that. So it's pretty clear to me that they're searching for money. And I think it's going to be a big get for them to come up with 25. That's why I have that number there, because I think that's a number that all the partners can deal with. Mike Ziegler.
I just have a quick question, but isn't the 103 contingent? So if they came back and said 25, then we would be 25, right?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you're right. But maybe I'm just being naive. But I would like to think that we would have a number that all three partners could deal with, and we don't have to go back and forth. But anyone else? Go ahead.
That's me. I was very interested to learn when we went to the TCAT budget presentation this year, which is a long time ago now, to have Bill Gray point out to us that The agreement that we signed as one of the partners says the partners will make up any deficits. And we have not been living up to that.
Great. Martha.
I will vote against the 25. I'll move or second a motion for 50. I think in terms of if the number is 103, then the city's just going to say no. If the number that we come up with is 50 or 33 or something, then I think we have there's a case there that says, okay, city, you can stretch. Do, you know, shake your pockets out or whatever. Find that money. So I'm, you know, maybe it's a sort of strategic thing that I say. I think we can do that. It can work with us, with our budget, and I think it would be better in trying to stimulate the city to match that than a big number would be.
Peter Stein.
I myself am not very happy with trying to play chicken with the city.
I'm
speaking, Martha. The reason I would like us to say yes to 103,658 or whatever it is because I'd like to have us declare that we think that TCAT is that important to the county. You can't get blood from a stone, okay? But I would like to believe that we feel that way. There are real problems going down the road. I'm telling you, we're going to be cutting roots. And frankly, to be truthful, I think we're going to be doing it no matter what we do because I don't think the city is going to come and do that. But that's my guess. Maybe they won't. But what I'd like to have us do is to say what we think that the partner should do. That TCAT is worth preserving and it can't be preserved by $25,000 contributions from the three partners.
I think we're ready to vote on the 25. All in favor of Mike's amendment to be 25, please raise your hand. Opposed to Mike's amendment? Anyone want to change their vote? It's 3 in favor of Mike's and 8 against. It fails. Martha.
All right, I will move $50,000, and I would like to talk about it.
Is there a second? Carol. Go ahead.
Peter, I want to make sure that the public understands that this is not a question of is the county going to put $103,000 into TCAT or not. Our base allocation is $819,522. And, Joe, is that it, or is there a separate capital, or is that plus the mortgage recording tax?
I think Kevin's got the bottom line number.
We, in addition to the levy amount that Martha quoted, there's a $120,000 contribution from what is essentially our share of the mortgage recording tax that is passed on. So the total contribution of those two is $939,522.
So that's what's already in the budget from the county going to TCAT. So the public needs to hear $939,522, and we're talking about adding $50,000 more to that.
Anyone else? Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll support Martha's motion to do the $50,000, but I would like to make a couple of suggestions. And one is the biggest complaint I hear about TCAT is that there are a number of runs that there's nobody on all the time. Those runs should be replaced with van pool, some kind of a van pool, which might even reduce your need for CDL drivers, which I know is a critical problem. Okay. And the other thing is the riders need to share in this cost. And I believe you need to raise your fares 25 to 435 cents per ride. And that includes Cornell.
Thanks, Dave. Anyone else? I'm going to vote against this. I do not believe that Cornell will pay 50. I'm certain the city will not. So, is anyone else? All in favor of Martha's amendment, please raise your hand. Opposed to Martha's amendment. Some people are not.
Some people aren't voting.
Some people are not voting. Opposed to Martha's amendment. Let's do it again. Those in favor, raise your hand for Martha's amendment 50K.
Wait, are you looking for a point of information?
What?
Okay.
In favor of Martha's amendment. One, two, three. Opposed. It is 6. Anyone want to change their vote? It's 6-5. It passes.
I would ask that the minutes show that the opponents, half of the opponents think it should be higher and half think it should be lower. So it's probably, I don't want it to be registered as we don't think they should even get 50,000. And I'm not sure how the minutes can best show that. But I think Kathy knows what I'm talking about.
Well, someone can move another amendment.
Why don't you do that? I don't think we're done with this one, but yeah, we understand.
There was something else that I'm assuming there aren't going to be any more amendments at this point, but I wanted to say relative to TCAT, and that is that bad as it is that the partners have been flat for 7 years and should really have stepped up before this, the federal government has just done an abysmal job of dealing with transportation needs. And until they step up, the capital section of this is going to be problematic for so many years that I don't share Peter's optimism that we will still have a functioning TCAT by 18 years from now without the federal government doing its share.
We need to vote on the main motion now. So that was the amendment, the first vote to the amendment. All in favor of the main motion, which includes a $50,000 contribution, please raise your hand. One, two, three. Opposed to the $50,000.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got confused. Can we revote this?
Yes, let's revote. It's the main motion, main amendment, 50,000 Martha's that we voted on. All in favor of the 50, please raise your hand. Opposed. Yeah, and you win. Anyone want to change their vote? 9-2.
Excuse me, Jim.
Go ahead, Will.
So, in support of Dooley's point about people's inclinations, I actually voted for the 50,000, but I would have supported the 100,000. We didn't have a chance to vote for that. We could go through the process, or we can just do it in the minutes, but I would like to say that I would support a higher number if it ever comes back to that.
Well, Leslin has a different amount, so she may be bringing it up again.
Can I ask Kevin a question?
Yeah.
Kevin, could you tell us how much money would in Target, I see we're at right now 0.9% on the levy. How much money would put us at 1% if we added Target funding? Yeah, I'm looking at the highway motion here in the next line. That would be $446,000?
Yeah, around $45,000 to $50,000.
Okay. Leslie's not here. We're down to the last one. And I have written in additional funds for road and bridge maintenance, $250,000. And I would move that. Is there a second? And Dave seconds. Discussion. Glenn.
I'd like to offer an amendment and change the pricing from $250,000 to $150,000.
Is there a second? Carol. Discussion on the one on the 150.
Well, I think this is a very important part of the budget or amendments that we have to do. Jeffrey Smith is a magician to keep the roads and the bridges to what they're be doing right now up to snuff. But everybody uses the roads here, whether we ride bicycles, use buses, or use cars and trucks. And I think the $150,000 would help Jeffrey do everything in his budget. I think it's affordable, too.
Anyone else? Oh, Kevin, let me ask you a question. 150, where does that take the levy? 144 over the county administrator's budget. Is that right?
It's 250.
150. Okay, questions or comments on the 150, Carol, and then Dooley.
So I'm interested in hearing from the mover of the main motion why you put this in even though it wasn't asked for.
You mean the original motion?
The original motion.
You mean
and
me,
why you
me?
Put that amount?
The 250?
Yeah, and why you put it in at all and why at that amount?
The reason I chose that amount is because I do know that there are many roads in the county that have needed work for a very long time, and this seemed to be a number that would help to mitigate some of the problems that we've had with roads in the county, and we would literally build some reserve and also do some of the projects that we need to do over the next couple of years. And, you know, it's the highway department, it's always the one when we start looking at the budget and we say, oh, we want to cut the levy, we want to do this, we want to do that. Where do we look? We look at the biggest fund and we start taking money out of the highway department. And that happens every year almost.
Okay,
so my sense is they needed to get some money back in the budget. We had the $580,000 and it was a good way to do something. My original thought was, when you're gifted with $580,000, literally you ought to be saving some, that you don't spend it all. And we're damn near close to spending it all, and that's troubling for me. And I think it should be troubling for all the people you represent. So in this way, the 250 or the 150. Originally, 250 is more of into a savings account, which makes sense to me because I know we have to do those things.
Okay, and then Joe, can you refresh my memory on? I agree with Jim that there's always more that we could be doing on highway. There are years I have proposed doing less, and I didn't do that this year. Refresh my memory on the additional line we added to the capital budget. Was it last year or the year before? And how much is in that line?
It was a couple of years ago, and it's $1.2 million. So it's $1.2 million that we borrow every year, and then it jumps up to $1.8 million after a few years, and then to $2.4 million way down the line. I don't know if I would look at that as new money. If you recall, we replaced a specific enumeration of projects with a lump sum allocation of funding for roads and bridges. That's what the $1.2 million is. So, again, I don't know that it should be looked at as an increase, but it was a way to sustain our investment in roads and bridges, and it was a lump sum amount. But it is, again, to your specific question, it's $1.2 million a year right now, and it will soon bump to $1.8 million a year that we will borrow and invest in the roads and bridges.
And that's in the, is it two or three lines total, or in one of those lines?
That's in the capital budget.
There are
so that's in the capital budget. So you've got debt service that pays for that. In addition to the debt supported improvements, there's also a pay as you go capital element, a kind of a road improvement element in the highway budget. And Jeff, I think, is still here. It's either $1.3 million or $1.7 million, depending on which number I want to look at. in terms of highway materials. What's in your ongoing pay as you go?
It's 1350.
Go to the microphone.
1350.
Hello. It's 1,359,000 is in our maintenance money.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
I don't know if this is on. 1,359,000 and change.
Capital.
Mike Fillane.
I think we always have to be vigilant about the roads and bridges. And we just came off of two terribly hard winters that were terribly destructive for our county roads. And we haven't fixed them all. We know that. We're just trying to put out fires and try to get the worst ones we can. We know that we had a terrible storm this year that did a lot of damage in Danby and Enfield and Newfield particularly, and we're likely to have more of those storms in the future. We've had them in the past, but we're told that global warming means more unstable weather, and there isn't any state money presently that's coming to help for that damage that we have to recover. So we're going to have to rely on ourselves in the future, and the towns are going to have to rely on themselves even more in the future. So I think by putting some money in here, I'm not sure what figure is the right one, but I think we need to add some to this fund.
Anyone else? Martha.
So,
and then Dooley.
So I'm looking at page 146, section 4, under maintenance, roads and bridges. That's highway materials. Is that where it's going to go?
Yes.
So I see in 2013, the actual was almost 1.9 million. 2014, the actual was almost 1.7 million. And the target right now is 1.36. So, right?
Answer that. What? I could answer that.
Go ahead, Jeff.
That in the last 2 years, Albany has upped the CHIPS allocation across the state. It was called the Extreme Winter Recovery. That's where you'll see those bumps in our, where we're spending out of that line. That will increase the actual spending in that line. There might have been other things. That was the biggest reason. It was $250,000 each year that we received.
So, and we don't expect, or we don't know whether we'll get that in 2016?
I wouldn't put it in the budget as a known number.
Okay.
And then have to scale our operation back. I'd rather put our allocation and CHIPS in there. And then if we get it, I come to the F&I committee and the board and through budget committee to appropriate the additional funds, knowing that we're going to then get reimbursed that amount.
Okay. I just first want to say that thanks to Jeff's unstoppable advocacy, suit coat actually is almost finished, the Ellis Hall Road project, when we thought in August that it was going to go into next year, and they Jeff really rattled the cage and got them to show up and do it, and they just got mailboxes to move and lines to paint, and then literally they're done. So thank you. I was hoping to do a smaller number than this so that we might end up with a total levy under 1%, but you know, I can support this. I like, for the sake of symbolism or whatever, that it brings us in, that allows us to be a little bit under Joe's original budget. And so given that, I'm okay with this amount, and I will vote for it.
Carol.
Wait, can I just a point of information? So we are still coming back here on Monday night and considering several other. So, I mean, if that's your reason for doing it, we're still talking about living wage, and there's a few other things that we still have to talk about. And for that reason, and because, you know, Jeff didn't ask for this to begin with, I feel like we have addressed the structural problems by putting some in the capital budget. So, I might be willing to revisit this when we truly get to the end of the list that had come before Jim added this, just because the capability was there. But at this time, I certainly would support lowering the amount from 250, but I'm not sure I can support doing it
It's at 150 now.
Have we voted on that yet?
No, we haven't, but yeah. We're at 150. Yeah. Dooley, you had your hand up?
I did. Martha referred to page 4-146, which is where the highway materials budget numbers are, and that was discussed. But I'm looking at the state aid numbers. I'm assuming that the state aid, the revenues state aid line, is where CHIPS appears, and that it's down by $250,000, your estimate. Where did that number come from?
Is that the $2,025,000?
Yes.
That is our CHIPS, our total CHIPS allocation from the state.
That you know you already have.
That we are, that's our base amount of CHIPS that we receive annually, that we anticipate to receive. We start watching the Albany, New York State budget in January. We look at the governor's budget, and we are hoping that, and we advocate for that amount to stay in there year after year, and we also advocate for raising it to...
And it's been more than that the last 2 years.
It's gone up by the extreme winter recovery monies.
Okay. How will you use this money?
This money?
The money that is being voted on. Or going to be voted
well,
on.
I'm glad you ask. In preparation of coming here tonight, I looked back at the season we just had, and I kind of identified four projects that we did around the county. And looking at our total cost and backing out the total cost per mile, a couple of projects hovered around the $180,000 per mile, and then a couple other projects hovered around the $133,000 per mile. So with the original amount that was proposed, the $250,000, I was looking at that and anticipating that we could do between a mile and a half and 2 miles of road additional to what we do now.
That's just paving you're talking about.
I'm talking about paving
the roads.
Not
rebuilding.
Improving the roads, just paving. Rebuilding the roads is infinitely more expensive if we were to get into that contract type language of rebuilding all the roads like we do on a few of the roads that are underway.
Is that work you would be doing with your crews, or would that be contracted out?
This is work that we would be doing with our crews and using vendor placement for hot mix paving, milling and paving, full depth reclamation, that sort of thing. We do an annual contract. We use that contract through many different vendors from the area. We generally work on, it's a phasing of the construction. We do culvert work, drainage improvements, that sort of thing, and then we'll have a vendor come in and actually do the roadway work, the paving, the reclamation, that full depth reclamation, chip sealing and things like that.
So you have the staff and the time to make use of the money right away.
We will be able to use the money. I look at, we have about 300 miles of road in the county. If we do 20 miles of road, which it would be a goal that I believe is a good goal, we would get back around and replace and get back on those roads every 15 years. Presently, this year we did about 16 miles of road. And that is an increase. We generally run around 14, 15 miles of road. So the price of everything keeps going up. Being able to get as close to that 20 miles of road a year is very important, and a goal that I would set for our highway department, and this money would be used to try and get to that goal.
Anyone else? I think we're ready to vote on this. The amendment to the amendment is for a total of $150,000 in the highway fund. Please raise your hand if you support this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Opposed? Oh, I'm sorry. Opposed, if any? It is not 9-0, right? 10-0. 10-0. Mike left. Back to the main motion. All in favor, please raise your hand. $150,000 in the highway fund, please raise your hand. Opposed?
Anyone want to change their vote? So nine in favor, one opposed. Nine in favor, one opposed. Thank you. We're done. I'll see you back here at 5:30 with our colleague Leslie McBean-Clairborn.